This is Tim Murdoch. You're watching White Rabbit Radio live for, what is it? It's Sunday, April 5th. It is Easter Sunday, and we are live here. We got some excitement. A soldier get rescued, or I should say pilot, multiple pilots. And we'll start heading through things. I've got some warm-up links, and we'll head through some other, all the war porn coming out is what I call it, at least. It's what we call it here in America. All the particular spectacle of crashed helicopters and blown up helicopters and trying to figure out what the truth is. The first thing lost in war is the truth. The U.S. has its narrative. The Iranians have their narrative. Sometimes one is right and the other's wrong, and other times it's kind of a blend of the two. It's somewhat difficult to figure out exactly what happened. But we can figure out it's a giant, disastrous, very expensive disaster, but so was the Iraq War. And this is no different. Always remember, boys and girls, when you're on the Epstein list, you start wars for them. Well, everyone at the top is them. They're all on the same team now. The Hegseths, the Trumps, you got to assume they're all on the same team. This idea that they're blackmailed or being made to do, they have agency. They're on the same team. That's how it's going to go. But anyways, we'll start heading through some warm-up news. Let's get some people in here, and then we'll head into all the particular scenarios of this giant crash and retrieval or downed pilots. We still don't know the truth. I mean, it just looks like we do know it was very expensive. We do know it's a debacle. We are losing equipment. The most expensive equipment, of course, was the radar installations that the Iranians keep blowing up. Now, as far as losing older aircraft or Warthogs, like no sooner than we played that the other day, last week, that particular piece from that Navy rah-rah group on YouTube about the particular, what's up, Global Chat? Hopefully you're doing well out there, buddy. Hopefully you're doing A-OK there, sir. No sooner than we played that, they took down a particular A-10 Warthog, but you're not really going to know what they have until they show it to you. We just know the numbers. They've got to have man pads all over the place, and they have all kinds of missiles everywhere. They have all kinds of drones everywhere, and they can really make your life hell. Well, so can a kid with an AK-47. I mean, it doesn't matter how much of a badass Special Forces guy you are, but a kid's firing AK-47s at you can ruin your day, potentially. Yeah, no. So it's one of those types of things. You shouldn't be there to begin with. But as long as the IRGC does not get tossed out, it'll be what it is. They'll be winning. And as long as they keep denying Uncle Sam a clean victory and keep on parsing out the Strait of Hormuz to all their buddies, you know. The empire, of course, is going down. At least the global version of the empire. You still have North and South America and all kinds of issues here. That's kind of what I'm worried about. Can't wait for the draft to start. After they blow up a Golden Gate Bridge, would that be crazy? Who knows what they're going to do? We can only speculate. You know, it's one of the obnoxious things about the internet. People speculate on the internet and then they say, "See, I was right." Everyone's right on the internet. But this war has been expected for years and years and years. It is turning out to be a real war, which was expected by yours truly. Even the Hezbollahs that everyone thought was over and done with because, you know, Israel killed all their captains, killed all their leadership, doesn't understand that they have leadership 5 to 7 deep. And when push comes to shove, they're going to cost you a lot in blood and treasure. So, but anyways, let's see what we've got going on here. Retired matador killed by a bull in Malaga. Over in Spain, retired matador got hammered by a bull. It happens. You like it when the bulls win? I don't know. Was that Pamplona, Spain, where they're running from bulls? It always looks too dangerous to me. We do have this out from Patriot Front. Let's check it out. Let's see what our buddies over at Patriot Front are up to.
Can Mary fry some fish, Mama? I'm as hungry as can be. Oh, Lordy, how I wish, Mama.
I wasn't expecting this music to this.
Could keep the baby quiet, 'cause my head is killing me. I saw my ex again last night, Mama. She was at the dance at Miller's store. She was with that Jackie White, Mama. I killed them both, and they're buried under Jenkins Sycamore. You think I'm psycho, don't you, Mama? Mama poured me a cup. You think I'm psycho, don't you, Mama? You'd better let him lock me up.
I don't know what to think about this. This is unusual advertising for these guys. It's kind of cool. Well, they got a band and everything. American Muscle 2. Okay. It was in the South. It's kind of cool. Now, guys, don't mess with one of these wolf fish. I've never seen one of these. I mean, I've never seen one actually caught, but they are kind of dangerous. Check this out. This is a famous wolf fish. Cut its head off, still very dangerous. It's got a gnarly set of teeth there you can't really see in this blurry video. Big chompers up front. A lot of guys have been injured by these things. Yeah. It's with his head cut off. And how ruthless he'd be with his head on. Jeez. Be careful. We do have white guys, though. Seems to be a percentage, a rising percentage, that just aren't putting up with shit. Finally found a video of a group of white guys against a black guy. Wonder what the black guy did. Because normally a bunch of white guys aren't just going to jump on a black guy. This is Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania. But obviously the black guy did something, we're going to assume. I like the music.
Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? I've seen you around for a long. Why can't we be friends? 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 I've seen you around for a long.
Usually, interesting times in America. It's what it's going to be. You're going to have white areas, and if you go in there and you're a non, it's going to be problems. All white youth need mandatory MMA training. Looks like they're getting it on the streets there, guys. Everyone's giving it to the Jews, though. The Jews have a problem all over the damn planet. They're trying to make way in Ukraine. They're trying to make way in probably, I think they got an old blast in Russia. Argentina is a big deal. The Jews have problems. They have problems, but they usually end up surviving somehow, some way. Israel's getting hurt bad.
Motherfuckers, all of these motherfuckers got it fucked up. Take up all the parking spaces, everything. Park like dickheads. Got.
Now, this is obviously a black guy, and this is obviously New York, I'm assuming. One of these very orthodox villages.
All of these motherfuckers got it fucked up. Take up all the parking spaces, everything.
They're saying this is like a black channel. Unk is crashing on the Jews.
Like dickheads got their own parking area, everything, nigga. Fuck out of here. Niggas on food stamps more than me. I don't even get food stamps, nigga. All y'all niggas got food stamps, nigga. Y'all know how to sign up yet? They teaching y'all that in school? You can grab your nuts, you a kid. I ain't gonna do that. You're rude. Y'all just seen this little fucking guy do that, right? Little fucking fat ass Jew guy. You got a big ass gut, little guy. Show some respect. Look at these niggas. Fake ass Temptations, the Jewtations. Fuck out of here. Fucking fake ass Jewtations. Y'all niggas over here, man. Eat dick, man. This is a little disrespectful little faggot. He gonna suck a lot of dick when he grow up. I don't respect none of that shit. Got the FBI over here wasting their fucking time on bullshit. There's a whole war. What if they fucking get attacked right now and they over here with you bitch ass niggas for this bullshit?
They're over there getting attacked and they're over here with you bitch ass niggers. It's kind of funny.
And these guys keep walking near me so they can hope they can get this confidence, this bravado. That's why they walk by me.
And this black guy just doesn't give a shit.
So y'all can get my energy. That's why y'all keep walking by me.
It's actually refreshing for people not to give a shit.
Oh, let's just bump me. Bump me. I'm going to be attacked. If you like that, you keep staring at me. Bump me. Come on and bump me. And I'm going to show you. Just bump my... Just.
They own his black ass, huh? Maybe not. A wild brawl. I mean, blacks typically are gonna fight to the death. A percentage of them, they're just impossible, unruly. They got to be in their own territory, their own space. You know. Wild brawl between 50 mostly African schoolgirls plunged a shopping center in Melbourne into chaos. Let's watch this. Oh, these black youths are plunging everything into chaos. Another day. I was going to say another day in America, but another day in America ends up being another day in the West, English-speaking world. A lot of Europe isn't as bad. You got these guys keep on talking like Trump, talking about Europe and immigration. I mean, Europe can actually is in a position to solve a lot of their problems. There's not an impossible number in some of these places that you could not reverse it. But the way they're flooding them in everywhere else. You know how locusts go crazy once they aggregate to a certain population size. Yeah, I know all about it. You know, working retail sucks because of youths. Yeah. It's no longer just pleasant white people, unless you get in a lucky area. Now, the UK, of course, this is, let's check out the UK. Police in Milton Keynes clashed with a mob of mostly non-white youths yesterday in an attempt to disperse a mob-like Easter egg hunt.
Why are you touching the guys, bro? What the fuck?
Youths. It was the Easter egg hunt. Cops look white in this instance. They don't got no guns, though. They just got batons.
Why are you touching the guys, bro? What the fuck?
Yo, what the fuck?
Yo, what are you doing?
Jiggy.
Very fast.
absolute chaos. Let's see if there's NHL fans. Did I play this the other day? If so, we'll play it again. I don't know when I found this. The NHL is investigating this. Throwing Romans. What's up, Aaron White? Hopefully Aaron White's doing out there okay out there on this Easter. Guys eating plenty of ham this Easter? Having a good Easter dinner? Ah, this gets so obnoxious. This is Ellie Schein is the left's candidate. Is this Schein or Schlein? I don't know. Is left's candidate for prime minister in Italy. Defending the rights of migrants and LGBTQ+, pro-abortion, anti-fascist. She supports introducing a mandatory minimum wage, strongly opposing removal of welfare, Green New Deal every single time. Now, they of course, enlarged her nose, I think. I think this is a real picture of her. Oh, man. We got Mexico. You've got Italy. Oh, man. What do you guys think? You guys think she'll get elected? Yeah. They're just all running their own game, and it ain't our game. Planting a tree is an absolute revolutionary act. Okay. Why does Israel have one of the lowest cancer death rates in the world? And so this bro is saying that there's something in the Israeli food supply. Well, we know that the U.S. food supply is an experiment to some extent, even compared to the British, you know? And why does Israel have one of the lowest cancer rates in the world? Is that true? All right. They're comparing. Wait a minute. So their Oreos are radically that. Are they radically that different? Kosher cookies, regular cookies versus kosher cookies. Almonds, organic coconut oil, pecans, tapioca starch, rosemary extract. Okay. Regular Coke, carbonated water, high fructose corn syrup, caramel color, phosphoric acid, natural flavors, caffeine. Kosher Coke, carbonated water, cane sugar, caramel color, phosphoric acid, natural flavors, caffeine. Basically, they got the original Coke recipe. You know that various different places, for instance, I know Costco, will sell from time to time, like Costco Business Center and probably even Sam's as well, Sam's Club. They'll sell the Mexican version of Coke in glass bottles, which has all these same ingredients in it. So it isn't just a kosher thing. The kosher thing, of course, is blessed by rabbis. But nonetheless, the ingredients in the American food supply leave a lot of questions. I mean, even Piers Morgan and everyone's questioning it. Yeah, they got their own food supply that's super healthy. Well, we can have the same thing. No reason for it. How many videos have I played where people say they lived in Europe for years and years and years and then came to America and immediately are eating less and working out more and gaining weight? You know? The original had cocaine in it. Well, they go back to that one too. I don't know how much cocaine it had in it. North American food supplies are meant to kill. I just think they're meant for an experiment. All German men aged 17 to 45 must now obtain army approval for trips abroad lasting over 3 months. Huh. This is crazy. Well, probably not. The Bundeswehr. Did I pronounce it right? The Bundeswehr? They're getting ready for a big war with Russia or something. some type of World War III. Yeah, we've got Germans on the move. But they have compulsory military service. They wanted to get all the Germans probably dead and let the migrants, who are all males, take over and breed with the females, the clergy plan. You know, it's obvious that's their plan. Young German men refusing military service, you can't really blame them, depending on what's going on. I mean, you might have to defend your neighborhood, but, you know. It is what it is. But nonetheless, the writing is on the wall that that's what they're trying to do. Do I think it's going to work? I think they're causing a disaster. I mean, they're causing a disaster in the Middle East. I don't know how those people are going to survive there. They start wiping out electrical grids and so on and so forth. They're not going to be able to get out of there very easily. It's a long haul trying to get out of there. But then again, you never know when that could come to America or Europe or China or anywhere else. They're not letting me see this. Hold on here. Epstein victims demand meeting with Prince Charles in Washington. Basically, Prince Charles is coming to Washington is what this is about. And when Prince Charles comes to Washington, the Epstein victims want to meet with him. Of course, Prince Charles basically didn't give an Easter message. He instead, but he did give a big Ramadan message and all that. And Trump, of course, is saying praise Allah, which shocked a lot of people for whatever reason. Maybe it's because of his Arab partners or, you know, I don't know. And then, of course, you have car companies. Aston Martin Valhalla, what a name. First Drive, Britain's billion-dollar bet on a hypercar. Fascinating. They want a street-legal hypercar, the Aston Martin Valhalla, and they're hoping this sells a lot. I don't know how many they're hoping to sell. Most people can't afford million-dollar cars. So Charles has been pro-Muslim. I didn't know Trump was so pro-Muslim, but, you know, you've had Trump, you've had even Tucker Carlson make glowing comments about Islam. What the elite want to do is what I call Chislam, it's actually called Chrislam, is combine, and this includes the Vatican. I just don't know how many factions are in on this. They want to combine Christianity and Islam into one religion. And, you know, oh, man. The big three is going to become the big one religion and maybe exclude the Jews. Yeah, we're going to make Chrislam and we're going to exclude the Jews or make them convert, because that's going to work. Because that's always worked so well, guys. All these plans are going to work. My plan? Evacuate the decent whites and just burn down the planet. Makes the most sense to me. I don't see any other logical way. Find a planet for some Japanese. Well, East Asians. Some of them seem all right. I think you pretty much have so many different groups on this planet that don't belong on the same planet with each other. It's the only thing I can determine. China tests world's heaviest 7-ton cargo drone with 1,850-mile range for recon ops. The Chinese are going crazy with drones. Absolutely crazy with drones. And they're way ahead in drone technology for the most part, so we think. I don't know what the U.S. has behind the scenes, but everything the U.S. does is so expensive. Oh, man, our military complex is so expensive. We'll have more of this coming up, but what's on the dark side of the moon? I am kind of leery of this particular moon trip, and I'll show you at the end of the show why, with all these weird statements coming out from elites. Not that we haven't had this happen before, but this is quite a space buildup here in the middle of World War III, and that's what we're at the outset of. All it's going to take is for a couple big ships to go down, and that could happen. That might have already happened with a British tanker on behalf of the Houthis or Hezbollah. But basically, all this is going to take is that, and this war is going to get a lot bigger. And into this disaster, as this becomes a real disaster, and I would predict it is, I expect them to go to space, because I always have. War with Iran or whatever the fuck they're trying to do, and then we're going to space. So be prepared. How do you prepare? Common sense. I mean, there's nothing really we can do about it. You know? See, East Asians are okay until you see what they do to animals. The Japanese are pretty good with animals. Koreans, yeah. The Chinese, the Chinese have a caste system that I don't fully understand. But yeah, the Asians are brutal, and they'll be brutal to each other. The Asians, when the Asians go at it, you think all these other groups go at it and are crazy? Where do you see the Asians go at it? Especially with smartphones and smart bombs and drones. You know, the Japanese are virtually homogenous at the military-industrial complex level. They've got all kinds of nasty surprises. The Japanese have back-engineered all kinds of stuff from us, bought expensive stuff from us. They're going to have nukes. I'm interested to see if the Japanese, like the Chinese, take the Senkaku Islands, which they call the Daewoo Islands. They both have claims over this area. The Japanese are occupying it now. But if the Chinese try to jump around and take the Daewoo Islands, which is what they call it, the Japanese again call it Senkaku. I think I pronounced that right, actually. I'm interested to see, are the Japanese going to step up and hit the Three Gorges dams with massive missiles? You see a massive missile attack on the Three Gorges Dam. And we're seeing very sophisticated missiles come out of unsuspecting groups like the Persians. So you know the Japanese are going to be capable of just as much, if not more, or even they most likely have a nuke. Would immediately put China underwater and in serious trouble. So it's kind of interesting. All these groups have to make a clean break. The Israelis have to make one. China has to make one. And many of them are on opposite sides. You know, Z Patriot, Maxim Kalishnikov, that's not his real name. He's a very famous Russian blogger that's childhood friends of Patriot Kirill. And he wrote this pretty long 200-page like paper or whatever it was. He talked about Russia taking advantage of the fact, or Russia needs to be ready for, you know, white genocide to kick into full gear and take as many whites as they can or something like that, which isn't uncommon for Russian bloggers to write wild papers and to see how it's digested and see what's out there. But this guy's very connected. Keep that in mind. And no sooner than he writes this paper talking about Russia needs to really, you know, look at what's going on in the West and with whites in general and think in racial terms is basically the gist of it. Is he gets at the time, the leadership of Russia had switched over for a bit to Medvedev. Medvedev's still very much there in his faction. From Putin, and Putin came back in, but Medvedev was in charge then. Medvedev met with him after that paper came out for like 3 hours, which is pretty crazy. It caused a lot of amusing comments from the likes of like Bob Whitaker and stuff like that at the time. I thought it was intriguing. I don't know a lot about Medvedev. I obviously don't trust anyone at the top. But this Maxim Kalishnikov character went from being sort of a fascist nationalist character to a, I've watched him as best you can because he publishes in Russian all the time, but this particular piece we can read in English. But he basically has said some intriguing things. I don't know if it's for effect. I don't know if it's for propaganda purposes or if the press, obviously the Western intelligence has to watch him in these elements. He might be more influential in some sectors than the famous Dugin, who gets all kinds of attention. This is the one I always watch because he's the one that says intriguing things. He's saying Putin's in trouble, is what I'm saying. And what I was going to get to, in this particular piece that leaks out, Russian Z Patriot Maxim Kalishnikov predicts a repeat of the dramatic events of February 1917 for Russia. That's not good. The sharks of the commodity business are horrified that the authorities, she called them voluntary contributions to SVO, while the industries are failing, funds are being devoured by war, that is, high social base of power is disappearing, the grassroots has tired of the war and furious with the restrictions, Telegram, Messenger, and Instagram. This is Kalishnikov. At the front, Kalishnikov noted everything is also bad for Russia. Peace negotiations mediated by the United States are stalled, and there are no prospects of turning the situation around on the battlefield. It seems like dire predictions by him, which, again, you have to keep in mind that we don't know what these guys really think and how much of it's just put out there for effect, but he has done some intriguing things. Enough to keep an eye on. And that is his screen name, Maxim Kalishnikov. That's not his real name. And his claim to fame is that he's a childhood friend with the big head of state in Russia, Patriarch Kirill. which, as far as his political views, Kirill's political views, we assume he's just Orthodox Christian. You know. So we'll have to see. But nonetheless, it's a bad, ominous-looking prediction for Putin, if true. And I don't know if it is. Keep that in mind. Let me see what we got going on here. We're going to start pulling up some particular war news. I've got a variety of different takes on this, but it'll really take till Wednesday to know exactly what happened and to get the very big counter-narrative, to have the military experts analyze it, and to have the stuff leak out what exactly happened in this rescue operation. You don't know what the Iranians have. You don't know what the U.S. are going to have to adjust. The U.S. can make adjustments at the special forces level. They can do things, but you're asking almost an impossible mission to go after a giant landmass with all these people armed to the teeth. It'd be like, okay, we're going to send an armed mission and we're going to try to do something in the United States. Well, how many guns do you have here? Imagine Chinese special forces coming into various different parts of America. It may go okay from Canada, but eventually, you know, you're going to have a good old boy with a deer rifle and you're done. You can't really step up and just take massive amounts of fire, even from like kids in AK-47s or anything. It's just all bad. None of it's good, but nonetheless, we've got a lot of coping, and I'll lay out the facts for you guys as best we can. We do know it's a disaster. We do know it's very expensive. I mean, can Uncle Sam maybe draft and go in there and do something? Sure. Can they eventually probably overthrow the IRGC? Probably. How costly is it going to be? And will the Chinese and Russians allow that? Because right now we're pulled into a pincer move, which is why they want us in this particular war. Now, the Israelis are going for global disaster. Nothing new. Their apocalyptic game. You know, let's check this out here. Mark Levin justifies the war by playing clips of 9/11 and Pearl Harbor. Oh, God, let's listen to this. What's up, man? What's shaking? What do we got over here? What's up, Snowman? I do appreciate it over there. Where are you at over there? Are you on FTJ? Okay, hold on here. Let's see what's going on here. I appreciate it, man. Cheers. Do appreciate it. Let me see what's going on. Let's play this clip by Mark Levin.
If we had attacked Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan or in Saudi Arabia before 9/11 and prevented the slaughter of nearly 3,000 of our fellow Americans, which of course we could not know in advance that we would have 3,000 of our fellow Americans slaughtered, but if we could, we hear the same things we're hearing today about President Trump's courageous decision against Iran and its nuclear and ballistic missile program, because it's a preemptive attack to make sure that millions of Americans aren't slaughtered by nuclear missiles by an insane 7th century primitive Nazi-like regime. And so the president has to explain why he's doing this, and his opponents, all they have to do is throw wrench after wrench into the works and say, no, and you can't prove this and you can't do that. But you can't wait for some catastrophe to happen. Say, see, I'm right. If we'd attacked the Japanese before they attacked us at Pearl Harbor.
Oh, my God. The Japanese did a thing, did what brave people generally do if they know you're going to be attacked. They attack first. You know, I don't know about all this bullshit. These guys, they need to be taken off TV. They need to be thrown into their own country. They're trying to divide themselves up on the planet into a few big colonies. They want to go from one Israel to like five Israels. Well, they actually have more than one Israel now. They have New York. They have London. I guess parts of LA. How many Israels do they have? How many large Jewish populations do they have running a racket? Whether it be a diamond racket or a... Oh, they got a few. They're spread out. Florida. Yeah, they got another colony in Florida. You got to look at it like that, I think. I don't know any other way to look at it, the classic white nationalist way. Yeah, so we think in terms of Israel, they're sitting ducks there, obviously. What do you guys see how bad they're getting hammered? Supposedly lost 100 tanks, considering the videos coming out of Hezbollah. And a lot of guys didn't understand when I told them that the Hezbollahs have 250,000 missiles and all kinds of man pads and everything else. And it doesn't matter how much of your leadership you kill, they're still going to do major damage when you have to go in there. And, of course, they got pulled in there or decided to go in there. Yeah, Cyprus, Greece, we don't know where all they're going, but they're going places. You know, Argentina's one. Well, Argentina goes back a long ways. We do have Warren Baylog coming on in a few weeks, and we have on Blair Cottrell coming on again this Friday to give us updates because Joel Davis obviously can't do anything. Joel was let out of prison. He was released on bail, or he still has more trials to go. They let him out of that maximum security prison, but Joel is having to live. I don't even think he can live with his wife and kids, or he has to live with maybe his wife and kids with his mother or something. I don't know what the deal is. He's not allowed to use a smartphone. He's not allowed to do anything. He's got some weird, crazy-ass bail, which are clearly a violation of his civil liberties, but nonetheless, they don't care because he's white. But with that being said, Blair Cottrell will be on this Friday, and we'll be discussing that if you don't know. We'll get all the updates because Blair will have talked with him a few different times, and so we'll get the update straight from the horse's mouth of what's going on over there and the crazy crackdowns going on in Australia against everyone white. Australia just deported the NSM boxing coach. They're going to deport everyone. I wouldn't be surprised one day if they get their way, Trump to move all the pro-whites or anti-Semites to Guantanamo Bay or something crazy like that, you know. Joel is being punished harder than a pedophile rapist. Well, pedophile rapist gets moved into Senate or Congress or presidency. You know how that goes. Pope Leo has a clear message for Donald Trump in first ever Easter Sunday address. Now, the Pope did something you don't see popes do in, like, decades. He carried the cross. He's basically saying that Donald Trump is just a warmonger and everything else. I honestly think Donald Trump wants out of this war. I don't think he wants to be in this war. He joined a crew long time ago. I take the traditional view that he isn't so much blackmailed by the Jews. It's just these guys at the top have information on each other, and he's in their crew. It's like he's Netanyahu's guy. It's like he's Netanyahu's brother-in-law now, his bestest buddy. He's the House of Saud's bestest buddy. They're all part of the same crew. I don't know. Trump drops F-bomb, says praise to Allah in wildest social media post yet. Yeah, he does these crazy rants. Tuesday will be a power plant day, a bridge day, all wrapped up in one. There will be nothing like it. Open the strait, you crazy bastard, or you'll be living in hell. Just watch. Praise be to Allah. Well, this is the craziest presidential post ever. The guy is nuts. Now, they might bomb the place into oblivion, but you still have all those underground bunkers. This is the problem, the same problem with Hezbollah. By the way, this is a problem in Gaza. You still have all those underground caverns. And in Iran, it's Iran and Lebanon. Iran more so than Lebanon because Iran has the mountain ranges. But, I mean, these guys are way underground, and they're going to be able to come out. And they don't care if they die. They got that I don't give a fuck attitude. China, of course, is doing all kinds of things. China built the world's drone industry. Now it's locking down the skies. Now, Chinese firms market Iran war intelligence, exposing U.S. forces. There's all kinds of young Chinese, I don't know, technocrats sending information far and wide about how to bring down F-35s and different theories about how to do this or that. And shit, some people say the stuff is workable. So the Chinese are basically running a just-in-time. They're basically crowdfunding. Literally, they're crowdfunding the Iranian defense, the Chinese are, which is kind of hilarious. These young Chinese whiz kids or the smarter ones of the group sitting in their technical schools are analyzing data and stuff like that and sending it back saying, you know, try this to bring down F-35s. And some people say it's working, you know. But nonetheless, the U.S. keeps saying they have air superiority, but may look like that for a minute, but no sooner than you go in there, you have all kinds of things going on. Let's keep on listening here. I've got more pieces tuned up to give you guys different perspectives, and we'll try to ferret through the, try to find some semblance of the truth.
We do not, the United States does not have air superiority. There are in air land battle, there are three levels of air control or air combat. One is air parity, where both sides, there is no clear delineation of advantage, and both sides are fighting for that air dominance. Air dominance is that when one side has achieved a level of domination to where they can conduct certain missions unopposed, or if contested, can still conduct operations in a limited manner. And then you have air superiority or air supremacy, where there is no contest. The opposing side can fly in whenever and however they want at any time of choosing with any type of aircraft, high or low. And what we've seen demonstrated by the facts, regardless of the rescue operation success or not, which I'm still not convinced of entirely, is that the United States does not have air dominance, as the president has said. We do not have, certainly do not have air supremacy. And I would argue that we are still in a state of trying to achieve air parity against the air defenses.
I think this guy's right.
So from the onset, this conflict has been a strategic failure for the United States, despite the proclaimed...
This is out of North Carolina. This is an analyst. Russia Today is playing it. So Russia Today has their own particular agenda, of course. That doesn't mean they're wrong.
Tactical level or operational level successes, those have been limited. This is a strategic failure. And I certainly expected that at this point... This is where we would be. I anticipated that we would probably have already launched the ground offensive, but I think that the delays caused by the damage to the aircraft carriers in the Persian Gulf, the delays to moving U.S. Marines from Japan or from San Diego, United States, to the region, has probably caused some delays in the initiation of a ground offensive. But I think that what we saw through Friday and Saturday with these rescue missions and or deeper penetration by strategic aircraft like the F-15 Eagle into Iran is signaling and demonstrating that this administration intends to conduct a ground offensive, and it's only a matter of days.
We will have to see exactly what they do. And just in, Trump says, if Iran deal is not made by Tuesday, I'm blowing up everything over there. This is your president, folks. I'm blowing up everything over there. Okay. You know, there you go. Trump tells Iran, open the fucking strait, you crazy bastards, or you'll be living in hell. Well, you can bomb them to oblivion. That doesn't mean you're going to get rid of the regime. And again, as long as the regime is there, they win. The IRGC, and it is a police state. They do have effective partners as well. So this is the challenge. The U.S. just loses. One, it loses financially. It started losing financially as soon as Lloyd's of London would not insure things going through the Straits of Hormuz. Now the Iranians are controlling the flow, which means the Chinese and the Russians. And the Iranians are saying you can have oil, but it's got to be payable in yuans. They're cruising around the dollar. And, of course, you have 40 nations trying to open up the Straits of Hormuz without including the U.S. because the U.S. has its own fucking agenda, along with the Israelis and the House of Saud. It's just one giant clusterfuck mess. And the Iranians do not like this Abraham Accord group in bed with Israel, or they're all Jews. Obviously, they don't like Trump. And on it goes. Eventually, I would imagine they're not going to be able to hold up the stock market, and you're going to see a pretty steep correction. We'll have to see. But again, you can only speculate. U.S. rescue team deliberately trapped. This is kind of the best case Iranian position, intentionally trapped. I don't honestly buy that, for a lot of different reasons. But what I do buy is that they have a variety of different airfields that they thought the U.S. might be landing near, and they have anti-aircraft guns in and around the area to hit things and surprise things with. So I think they're pretty good at ambushes and surprises. But as far as we lured them into a trap and this, we'll have to see. It's possible, but I don't know. Rescue team was deliberately trapped after capturing the pilot and taking him away. The IRGC deliberately kept the pilot's frequency beacon on to lure the rescue team to arrive, and then, all right. And we'll keep, this is a very interesting piece. It's the different scenarios on what exactly went down, other than, you know, to keep it simple, you have a pilot go down and you had search and rescue coming in there. And search and rescue is flying through there so low and so at such a low altitude and speed. Of course, they're getting shot at. I think the probably one of the big stories that's going missing is how much the CIA and MI6 and Mossad were all over elements in Iran. Another thing that probably would go missing is how successful they are at having various different informants and safe houses inside of Iran, and as well as a forward operating base, a runway that they actually were able to land and take off something from, which is kind of interesting, and not all end up dead. That in itself, I guess, is a miracle of our special forces. But the special forces, we know, are tip-top. You just can't fight the whole entire country. You know, even if it's successful, what is the cost of success? That's the problem. You know, all right, you were successful. Now, we don't actually know how successful they were, but how do you define success? If success is defined as, you know, all the guys survived and we don't know they did. You know, it is quite common for the U.S. military to blow up stuff, to call in giant airstrikes on equipment that they plan on leaving or can't take. There's a variety of different scenarios, and it would not be unthinkable for the Iranians to send a missile right in on top of the particular airfield because Russian satellites picked it up or something. There's a variety of different scenarios. Guess what? It could all have went down, which would be even crazier. But, you know. Yeah, it would be huge if it's true. Now, again, the Iranians are going to, I just don't know the truth because they're obviously quite capable, but I'll show you enough videos to where you'll see everything.
Geneva!
Looks like some kind of cruise missile came in.
Ya khoda, ya khoda.
Yeah, they will eat those people alive. But this is the plane they got flying in there. And they're coming in there. The Pentagon is hiding the truth. Now, I'm giving you some of the Iranian particular pieces that, in my opinion, definitely embellish things because the Iranians are going to embellish things. And they're doing well. They're surviving. The regime's surviving. The U.S. is always going to embellish things. We don't trust them. The first thing lost in war is truth. I probably told you that, guys, a million times by now. I expect this type of thing. Trying to figure out exactly what's going on. The Americans camouflage for landing operation at a remote airport in Isfahan was actually aimed at a major military landing operation. American operation was an initial landing operation for stabilizing entry routes and securing for a large ground landing operation when it failed. There's a lot of speculation like this coming out of Iran, and people are eating it up. I don't know what's true, though. You're going to see a lot of this shit because there's too many man pads. And like I said, it doesn't matter how much of a badass pilot your special forces you are, some man pads, AK-47s, and some good AA. I mean, it's just, it's a big country. Lots of people don't want you there. Now, what the U.S. will be going off of is all these particular minority groups and disaffected Persians. I've said before that Iran has a single vision of the past and a single vision of the future, just like the Hezbollahs. That is at the military level. The society as a whole is diverse. And so you're going to have people that don't like, that are young, that don't like the regime. You're going to have CIA cooperatives, people that want money, and they're quite willing to hide or help U.S., you're going to have all kinds of crazy stuff because Trump was trying to overthrow the place. They've already admitted to this, by the way. They were trying to overthrow the place by sending in arms and everything else. It just didn't work. Overthrowing a police state is very difficult, it seems, especially when that police state has big allies, even if you are your own police state. But let's play some of these particular clips. And again, I can only give you the facts from different sides. And it'll probably take a few days for the truth for us to even know. There's a lot of people that believe multiple different things are going on at these crash site. One of the things you see is obviously some destroyed equipment that probably came underneath heavy fire. But they're not going to be crashing one on top of one another. That's something that a military expert that I read pointed out. This looks like they lined a bunch of things up, got in a difficult situation, and this is what they trained for. In a difficult situation, you have to leave stuff behind. You line it up and just implode everything, call in the airstrikes, and get the fuck out of there. And my guess, it's a combination of things, but that is kind of a good point. Everything's not going to crash one on top of another. You might go into a crash site, retrieve something, and then end up in some type of clusterfuck, which probably is what happened. You know, a military simulation shows how Iranian forces can brilliantly ambush elite rescue teams. A single hidden anti-aircraft gun, completely decimates the rescue copter. Well, they've got plenty of AA guns. They've got them distributed around there. But again, these are Iranian accounts showing like a best case scenario. But nonetheless, the reason I'm playing it is because you got man pads and this shit all over the country. Now, as soon as those anti-aircraft guns start taking fire, you have F-35s over top that are going to start precision strikes right on those particular targets. So they're not going to last very long, but they don't have to last very long to take down a plane, to damage a plane, injure crewmen. They don't have to last very long to be a nuisance. You just have to have guys crazy enough to sit in there and know that they're going to die. And the Iranians, the Persians, they got that.
This at 3:15 hours. A dedicated combat search and rescue package launches. These are highly trained rescue units built for this type of rescue mission. It includes an HC-130J combat cane. This act as an airborne command center, followed by two HC-60D helicopters, call signs Pedro 11 and Pedro 12. They fly under the radar, topping off their fuel in midair to maximize loiter time. But will they make it into hostile territory undetected? Well, they push deep into the Zagros Mountains just as dawn approaches. 4:45 hours. Pedro 11 locates the A-10 pilot's inferred strobe. Pedro 12 circles above, providing overwatch with its 50 caliber machine guns. Pedro 11 flares for landing, and the P's hit the dirt to secure the pilot. Then this happened to hidden Iranian Zu-23, a Soviet-era anti-aircraft gun opens fire from a concealed hideout. It's an ambush. Heavy armor-piercing rounds tear through Pedro 12 as it orbits, resulting in severed transmission lines and an injured crew. The pilot wrestles the crippled chopper into a hard-controlled crash near Pedro 11. The rescue mission is now a fight for survival, and Pedro 11 is the only way home. Under heavy covering fire, the crew of the downed chopper sprints to the surviving bird. But how did they stop the enemy barrage? Then at 5:02 hours, the C-130 overhead coordinates an immediate strike. Two F-35 stealth fighter jet loitering high above in stealth overwatch drop precision munitions, silencing the anti-aircraft gun. With the A-10 pilot, the PJ, and the crash chopper's crew crammed inside, Pedro 11 is maxed out on weight. But how do you fly an overloaded helicopter escape the Zagros Mountain? This is how they do it. Pulling maximum power, the engines screaming, they barely clear the tree line and dive back into the valleys, racing for the border. By 5:30 in the morning, Pedro 11 crossed back into Iraqi airspace. Battered, overloaded, but alive. As stated, no one gets left behind. The F-15E crew is still missing in action, requiring a massive JSOC raid the following night.
That is one particular scenario. By Wednesday, this will all probably change, but you know. Nonetheless, that is a plausible rescue scenario. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. This is the Russian skull of American soldiers uncovered in destroyed planes. They're saying that's a skull right there. Could be. I would imagine someone got killed and all that stuff. But again, what is our true casualties? Because they got to be a lot higher just from those bases getting hit. I don't know. But nonetheless, you guys can get a taste of the type of propaganda coming out of all sides. That was mostly pro-Iran account. Footage shows wreckage of U.S. Black Hawk helicopters and C-130 military transport aircraft destroyed by three troops before departing Iran after the rescue operation of a downed pilot. Total U.S. cost of rescue operation. An F-15 Strike Eagle destroyed, A-10 Warthog destroyed, MH-6 Little Bird destroyed. Now they're saying three or four of those Little Birds were destroyed. Two C-130 Hercules destroyed, two UH-60 Blackhawks damaged, an F-16 damaged. So, you know, they can go through this, but this is going to be very, very costly. And they will be learning. They will be adapting, we think. But so the Iranians, so will the Iranians. So they're going to try to make it as costly as possible to come in there. That's their strategy. So far, it's working. And they're going to hit everything they can. You know, that F-15 costs four more aircraft. I don't know what that means. Oh. So basically, this is the Iranian who claims to have shot at a Black Hawk U.S. helicopter during the search and rescue mission of their F-15 pilots. I armed myself to shoot. The warplanes were overhead. My wife told me not to shoot. Rifled two shots at the windows. Wife told me not to shoot. Women holding their men back, even in Persia. This is some type of shepherd dude. He's become like a celebrity in Iran because he shot a Black Hawk. I don't want to play the whole thing, but you get the picture of what's going on in Iran. As long as the regime survives, they'll be fine. I mean, these guys are just cruising around over there like they have air superiority. Now, granted, there he goes, cruising by. And you know, that was kind of one of the mysteries. You see these planes in all these videos just cruising around over there on this particular rescue. President Trump, a severe mental breakdown on Truth Social. Tuesday would be power plant day. Everyone's talking about this breakdown. Open the fucking strait. Well, they're going to open it the way they want to open it for their buddies. I don't want to open it for you. The problem is it's hurting the dollar, of course. Is there any limit to what they'll do to secure the empire? No. No, they don't give a fuck about deaths. The thing that concerns me the most is that it may end up with a nuke going off. Another thing that's we can't really calculate is the effects on a war that's as much on smartphones and AI and bullshit. You know, typically World War II, you got bullshit. But it's mostly Jewish propaganda, right? Written by Hollywood guys and whatnot. That's not the case anymore. Now you've got all kinds of competing narratives and people are actually looking for the truth. And you have competing different theories. And it's a mess. Remember, the Americans have proven they will not admit when they're getting killed. I hate to inform you, but there is not a military on the planet that will tell the truth about casualties until way after. That's standard military practice. It was very easy prior to the internet, whether it be Vietnam. Just look at Russia and the Ukraine debacle. We don't know numbers out of Ukraine, and we don't know numbers out of Russia. If there's a war in Europe and you guys end up in war with Russia or whatever, whoever, they're not going to be honest and forthcoming about any casualties. So it isn't just America, unfortunately. It's militaries in general hide casualties. It's kind of like one of their main things. The problem is that how do you get around modern information age? How do you get around that? It's a problem. It's a constantly a fight for narrative and narrative control and the truth. And if you are taking a lot of casualties, eventually it's going to get out, whether it be on the Russians, Ukrainians, or what's really going on with U.S. forces. An aviation reporter covered multiple crashes, claims it's a plane crash, not as the U.S. claims, that special forces destroyed the planes themselves. So popular blades, and again, this is all speculative experts. No one knows for sure the exact scenarios that took place. It's probably multiple different things going on. The propeller blades and the attached pick are bent backwards exactly in the way they do when spinning at high RPM during a crash impact. That's textbook dynamic. It's downing image, not blowing up of a static aircraft. You might have a crash, and they landed at the crash site and went at it. This is the elderly Bakhtiari man, is that what they call it? Veteran of 10 months of combat in the Iran-Iraq war, describes the moment he opened fire on one of the helicopters. I saw two helicopters, and he just kept shooting. This is like the big hero over there in Iran, shooting at American helicopters. This is the thing. You got a hostile population, everyone's shooting at you. They don't want you there. You know? Trump admits the U.S. was sending weapons to the protesters and are trying to use the Kurds for ground attack on Iran. Yeah, that's the problem. I mean, that is another big story here, is that you do have some amount of penetration into the population. We already knew that, though. They do have secure safe houses and probably different air bases that they think they can use. I say thank you. You don't really know anything until you go in there and try, right? But there is big penetration by U.S. Special Forces, probably, and intelligence on some level. Doesn't mean it's going to be effective at getting rid of the IRGC out of their bunkers. My biggest concern, again, is that someone's going to use a nuke. That might be inevitable. And that would be, of course, another tragedy.
All of this following the president's post on True Social, where he talked about these negotiations with the Iranians. We'll pull this up. He says, quote, Tuesday will be power plant day and bridge day, all wrapped up in one. In Iran, there will be nothing like it. Open the effing strait, you crazy bastards, or you'll be living in hell.
Yeah, trans rights for Persia.
Just watch. Praise be to Allah. The president posting there on True Social about this ongoing operation and his new red line for the Iranian regime. Now, the president also provided new details on what happened earlier this year as the Iranian regime took to the streets and slaughtered what the president tells me is 45,000 civilians in their own country. After that took place, President Trump told me the United
States... I don't know about 45,000. That's a big number.
The United States sent guns to the Iranian protesters. He tells me we sent them a lot of guns. We sent them through the Kurds, and the president says he thinks the Kurds kept them. He wants to say we sent guns to the protesters, a lot of them. And so a number of headlines here.
So basically what he's telling us is the Iranians were justified to wipe out these particular insurrectionists. Right? So much for being innocent protesters. They were insurrectionists armed by the United States, and the Iranians were wiping them out. Now, whether it was 45,000, that's a big number. That's like Vietnam, right? I don't think it was a Vietnam-style number, but there was a lot of insurrectionists. They're not protesters. They're armed by a foreign power looking to overthrow the regime. Interesting admission by Trump, right? It's nothing but trouble. And that's the sad part, is you do have these, let's say, special forces teams. You have these particular, the Air Force rescue team is as good as SEAL teams at certain things. They're really high end. And these guys go in, and they're going in for their friends, and they're all white. And you're basically fighting for a military that's trying to bring gay and trans rights to Iran. I mean, that's the state of things. It's just, it's not our war. You're fighting for Zog, and that's the sad truth. It's tragic. And most of them are, maybe they realize it, maybe they don't. It seems like a rising number of young soldiers just are looking for a way out of this mess. Yeah, the CIA is always going to supply weapons. Massive destruction in Haifa. You guys can get a look at, I mean, Israel's just getting hammered. And it ain't no ends, ands or buts. I mean, it's just massive destruction over in the Middle East, a variety of different places, and especially inside Israel. Inside the secret SoCal lives of the niece and grandniece of Iranian General Soleimani before they were arrested by ICE dramatic raid. So ICE basically, Soleimani's niece and grandniece were in the country, which I think is kind of, I don't know the backstory on it. They're in the country, and Rubio decides to throw them out of the country. I wonder why. Is this war going so bad that you're throwing out what looks to be like an OnlyFans? Soleimani's grandniece is made in some kind of publicity stunt. She comes over to America and, you know, again, she's looking like some kind of OF girl. Why would they throw her out of the country? I just don't buy any of the conventional explanations. Are they worried she's a spy? What are they doing? I mean, they let her in here. She's here. She's hanging out. She's... What can a woman be some kind of dramatic threat? What pissed these guys off so much that they're throwing out Iranians? Arrested by ICE Friday and had their green cards revoked for less for ties to the Iranian regime. Okay. It's kind of aggressive. What's the whole story there? And you guys know the whole story. Send it in to me via email or something. I'm curious to see what comes out on that. Very aggressive move by Rubio. I'm guessing things, these little signs like this are things not going too well. Because I have a feeling everything was going well. This probably wouldn't have happened to her. So what's going on? You know, according to an uninformed, and this is one of the good news collators on X, according to one of the uninformed, according to an informed U.S. military source, not one but four MH-6 Little Bird helicopters had to be abandoned and were destroyed at the landing site, along with two C-130 Hercules. So it sounds like the landing site was turned into a complete disaster. You're going to have all these Iranian elements converging. They're going to know you're there. And that's the problem with their satellite and their surveillance system. They're ready for anyone to come in there, and they're going to know where you're at, and they're going to know what you're doing. It's going to be very difficult, even though they're all talented soldiers. Again, you're landing. Look at those guys hanging out that helicopter. A kid with an AK-47 can ruin your day. You know? Drones are the future. Well, they're going to have drone tanks, too. They're going to have robots. It's all going to be robots and drones, and that's it. Clear marks of bullet air bursts in the C-110, C-130 Hercules. There's all these guys trying to analyze it. I'm guessing they were getting shot by everything under the sun. You know, these guys are pretty brave. They'll go in there after their friends, but you're going to take casualties in Persia. Been prepared. Iran media at wreckage of downed U.S. military transport planes. We'll see if we can get anything out of here.
اینجا منطقه پرزون در جنوب استان اصفهان هستش، جایی که دو هواپیمای ترابری نظامی رژیم تروریستی آمریکا صبح.
It's fascinating that they were able to get that far and do so much before getting hammered.
امروز در منطقه هدف قرار گرفتند و ساقط شدند توسط نیروهای تکاوری یگان ویژه
Okay, we've already looked at that. This is Trump, open the effing straits. They don't make a deal fast. I'm considering blowing up everything. We've already talked about that. This is Iranian holds U.S. flag upside down, collected ammo boxes from crash. Now, this is a mainstream media outlet, so I assume it's accurate. That's from the crash site, from the destroy site or whatever. Iranians recover the underwear of an American F-15 pilot. Is it from an F-15 pilot? We don't actually know, but nonetheless, you know, this is everyone's playing this, this Iranian guy shooting his gun, this old Iranian shooting his gun, but this is what you're going to face over there. And of course, this is, let's cruise over to Bahrain for a minute. One of the Bahraini interceptor missiles struck a Babco oil storage this morning after failing to intercept the Iranian drone that impacted just seconds earlier. It's just the whole entire Middle East. So you have interceptors going off. You have all kinds of challenges. Iranian drone attack sparks fire at the Shuaik oil complex in Kuwait. The Iranians keep hitting shit. Very, you know, with a certain amount of accuracy. Iran Army confirms two C-130 transports and two Black Hawk chopters destroyed and thwarted U.S. op. So-called rescue op was planned as a deception and escape under pretext of escorting pilot. And again, we'll get the whole story. It may take a while, but we will get the deal. We will know the whole truth and who's telling us the truth. But expect casualties. How a U.S. F-15 Strike Eagle was shot down over Iran. It was supposed to be just another routine combat sortie, one of nearly 13,000 flown by the U.S. military since the start. An F-15 Strike Eagle flying at high speed over southwestern Iran was suddenly struck by a Russian-made surface-to-air missile. The air was traveling at Mach 2.8 when the missile approximately fuse detonated near the rear of the aircraft, causing catastrophic damage. The F-15 is a powerful bomb truck. But its stealth features of newer jets, it doesn't have the stealth features, basically. One thing remained unchanged, though, the ironclad U.S. military code of go after their pilots. The missing U.S. pilot was extracted, but in critical condition. So there's a variety of different variations of this whole entire story coming out. Let me see something, if I can pull something up here. Trying to get some of the mainstream pieces behind Trump. This is what he keeps saying. They're going to be living in hell. He's just going to try to bomb the place to oblivion, but that doesn't seem to be... Well, it's definitely hurting the people, but... Missing F-15 pilot evaded capture by climbing an elevated ridge and sending out evac beacons. From that point, multiple aircraft were dispatched, decimating enemy forces all day in an attempt to rescue a safe evacuation zone. Secure a safe evacuation zone. Upon finally reaching the operator, the Special Forces soldier... This is the American version. Two transport aircraft became stuck, at which point the U.S. opted to blow up the two planes and send more transport aircraft to rescue the trapped Special Forces soldiers and pilots. The U.S. suffered zero casualties and eliminated numerous enemies, carrying out a highly complex rescue mission over the course of days. Hold on, let me grab some more. I'm just giving you guys official versions, you know. See here. And they keep on hitting all kinds of infrastructure facilities. That is a very hopeful scenario. Could it be true? Yeah, the U.S. Special Forces can pull things like this off. There is a lot of videos all over the place of these low-flying search and rescues that are just cruising through Iran like they have air superiority, which actually shocked me. Gunfire exchanged in the daring special ops raid as U.S. rescues downed pilot in Iran but is forced to blow up his own planes. This might be Western cope. These are the most capable elements. Here's a great photo. You guys can see this photo. The Iranians are just capturing photos of these rescue helicopters with the C-130 just cruising around. They're just cruising around there, just cruising through. Now, how they didn't get eaten alive, I don't know. Because eventually, if you're doing this, if these guys are taking pictures, the Iranians are going to know about it, and they're definitely going to hurt you. Iran repairing missile bunkers within hours. They basically have whole teams that dig out their particular bunkers once they get hit. These missile silos are deep in the earth. They bury the entrances, and then the Iranians just dig them out. They're prepared. Biggest gamble, U.S. Special Forces rescue second missing F-15 airman from Iran. One of the most daring operations in history, says Trump. Strikes were reported in, I can't pronounce it, a city in the center district where the second American pilot was reportedly spotted. Now, what they were saying is this giant explosion, which we will actually play for you here in a little bit again, was the U.S. basically called in some type of tactical air support, because we don't really know whether it was an Iranian missile coming in after them or a U.S. I can't tell by this. Maybe one of you guys can, but basically a soldier was taken into a safe house on some level is what they're saying, this particular pilot. All wild stuff. Okay, we already played that. It was very costly, though. It was very fucking costly. It's nice if everyone got out alive. I kind of suspect that might be bullshit, but nonetheless, it would be very nice. I guess it would be worth all the cost if you're one of those guys, but can they do this day in, day out? It's going to start getting old to the American people pretty quickly. Well, it already is. Trump's in negative territory for white, non-college age men for the first time like ever. Iranian strike on U.S. embassy caused more damage than disclosed. This is the Wall Street Journal, of course. And here's the problem, right? Yeah, it would be a bargain if you're one of those soldiers, of course. They're going to go after their friends. And you're dealing, again, these are the most capable elements of the U.S. armed forces. But dealing with a young, diverse Marine Corps coming in there on these islands, my guess is they'll fail a couple times at various different things and then ramp up enough to be successful at something. If Trump were smart, he'd just have some kind of small, big camera op success and get the fuck out. But he's on a team, and his team's got to overthrow Iran. And that is Team Zog. So it's not looking good for Trump and Team Zog. It looks to be like a difficult road ahead for these guys, to say the least, especially for the poor soldiers. But, you know, again, the problem here is that you're not able to really lie. We're all looking at the pictures. We all see the various different scenarios, and you're not able to bullshit us. The truth is going to come out. You know there's more casualties than they're saying. You know this is not like a legal, just war. We know we're going to war for Israel. And it isn't just like white nationalists knowing it. Everyone on the fucking planet knows it. And everyone's recording it with smartphones. Guys, I'm going to take a break for a couple minutes. Listen to some Hyreth. I'll be back. Let me get some more water. And hopefully you guys had a nice Easter. And we got more stuff to go through here. Okay, we are back. Let's keep on cruising through here. A lot of this stuff is somewhat redundant. Yeah, this is what they're saying. This particular piece right here is another Little Bird helicopter. These are Special Forces helicopter, and supposedly we lost all kinds of stuff. But if you look at how much was lost in World War II or Vietnam, the difference is that we're all seeing it in real time. You know, that is the difference for sure. I appreciate you guys tuning in and supporting the show. You guys can get a glimpse at this. This is just another dude sitting over there in Iran filming these planes going by. Now, I wouldn't imagine. It's just like some kind of, goat herder or something? It's a C-130. You know, this is all just going on. The United States sent guns. We already played this. There's multiple different sources pulling out multiple different variations of the same clip, same quote. This is a great example of what's going on, because don't forget, Israel is pushing in, trying to push all the way to Litani River, which is their goal. They've got water problems and everything else. They want to get into get into Lebanon. They're going at it with Hezbollah. And this is what's meeting Israel. This is Hezbollah continues to use fiber optic FPV attack drones to target Israeli armor in southern Lebanon. And this is going on 24/7. I don't think this is a tank. This looks like an armored, well, maybe a tank. Yeah, it is a tank. Merkava. Mountains of Lebanon. Now, flying those FPV drones is supposedly pretty difficult, especially with they're armed. They're kind of lopsided, or there's weight issues as they're armed up with bombs and everything else. It's all kinds of it's supposed to take some amount of skill to do. The Ukrainians and Russians do it, but these Hezbollah's getting in on it, and Israel supposedly lost 100 tanks. Believable. We still don't know how many tanks they lost in that first war when they were getting lit up by man pads. If the Jews win, you are next. Well, I don't know what winning looks like to them other than overthrowing the IRGC, because they're taking losses, enormous losses, in this particular area of the world that doesn't want them there, doesn't want us there. Hezbollah strikes British warship off Lebanon. Ship damage mistaken for Israeli vessel. Oh, wow. Yeah, hold on here. We got a video of this. This is the problem. This is going to happen as all these ships come through. Yeah, this is a video of a ship off the Straits of Hormuz. It wasn't the British ship. But journalists from the Israeli TV channel, Channel 14, confirms Hezbollah's statement that a British warship was directly hit by an anti-ship missile from Lebanon, sustaining damage. Hezbollah earlier today claimed that they attacked and hit an Israeli ship, but it was misidentification of a target. Hezbollah launched a shore-to-sea missile toward a British warship about 70 miles from the Lebanese coast after mistaking it for an Israeli one, an assessment in Israel that the ship was damaged. How bad is the damage? We'll never know. Well, I'm guessing we will find this out. Britain will reopen the North Sea oil fields. I don't know what they plan on doing. But this is the problem. No sooner than something comes out, they're trying to show, they're trying to do clickbait videos. They end up being a video from something else. It's difficult to confirm stuff. Anti-drone warfare is going to be all the rage. This is the Russians are bringing out. It seems like these small machine guns, small anti-aircraft guns, and various different things are what they're going to be using with AI detection. This is a Russian one. And you're going to have a lot of stuff like this coming out. That's the way it's going to go. Let's see what Alex Jones has been going quite crazy on social media. Let's see what he has to say.
All right. Matt Wallace last night posted a list of 35 prominent Democrats that are supposedly at Walter Reed Medical Center in D.C. in critical condition with some mystery illness. Now, obviously, it's satire. And he made reference, of course, to all these Democrat operatives saying Trump has collapsed and is at Walter Reed Medical Center, all because they look at his schedule days ago and saw he wasn't doing anything today. So they obviously plan on this day to say that, and this happens all the time. Now, I've been concerned about Trump's overall health and his stress at 79, and he does appear to be slowing and has been babbling and things like that, but that doesn't mean I think he's dying right now, okay? He does have swollen ankles, and that's indicative of congestive heart failure, but that could take decades to kill you, okay? But then everybody's attacking the folks that posted the satire and acting like they don't know it's a joke and saying it's a deception when clearly they posted fake photos of, you know, 35 beds lined up with all these Democrats laying in them, Governor Newsom, Pelosi, you know, all of them. It's clearly a joke, okay? Now, let me give you the example of what I'm talking about here. Remember a couple of weeks ago, they were saying for over a week, Netanyahu's dead. And then no matter how many speeches or how many things he did, people said that he was really dead. And I simply came out and said, no, he's alive. And the Iranian missiles can't go down 10 levels where his bunker is. They can only get through a few floors. They did hit a couple of their main bunkers, one of them that he was, you know, sometimes he stays in. But I said, I think he's still alive. And I got called a traitor, an Israeli operative, you know, just massively attacked, ratioed. And I just said, watch, when it turns out he's alive, which they all admit now, he goes to press conferences with hundreds of cameras, they just have the story disappear and they want you to forget about it. I don't go along with stuff that I don't think is true. It's very, very simple. Just because I say I think Netanyahu's alive doesn't mean I support the warmongering, doesn't mean I support the war crimes, doesn't mean I support Israel manipulating our internal politics. It has nothing to do with that. I just call balls and strikes. That's what I... So all of you that said Netanyahu was dead...
All right, Alex, let's move on here. Wreckage of U.S. aircraft deliberately destroyed in Iran. Explosion so massive, aircraft shape scorched into the ground. It looks like there's multiple things going on, but they clearly called in big airstrikes to make sure none of it was able to be recovered by foreign intelligence, foreign military, whatever. You know, clearly doing that. And there'll be a lot more of this to come, by the way. A lot more of this shit to come. Big Israeli Channel 2 news details emerged about the rescue of American F-15. Now, again, this is Empire BS, but I mean, not to say elements can't be true or that these soldiers couldn't pull this off. They can. But, you know, the officer was unconscious with a concussion and did not transmit a distress signal initially. He made first contact at 1200 on Friday. Climbed to the highest point to avoid detection, walked 10 to 12 meters, and hid in a crevice from where he sent precise coordinates on Friday night. Israel refrained from striking the area and provided intelligence. During Friday and Saturday, Israel was asked to assist with air superiority and struck relevant targets. U.S. forces seized a farm 18 kilometers from his hideout, landing two aircraft and small helicopters. The helicopters extracted him from the crevice. I wonder if this farm was some part of some CIA something or other. I'm going to assume it was. The helicopters extracted him from the crevice and returned him to the farm. During takeoff, the C-130s became stuck in sand. Three smaller planes were called in to evacuate and navigate special forces. Now, this is another version altogether. I'm giving you all the versions. We'll see who's lying. Fighter jets then bombed the two stranded aircrafts to prevent capture. Could that be a fact? Well, there's a variety of different versions from the Empire, even. I want to see when they invade and how bad this is going to be. No matter what, it's expensive and getting more expensive. I don't know. I don't think Trump is stressed about anything. I don't think it's going well. You know, Tehran prosecutor conducts a field inspection of the food markets, day 36 of the war. Let's check out what the food's like. Now, Iran has a lot of good partners that are sending in stuff, no problems. And so, that's how it goes.
بازدید دادستان تهران از یکی از فروشگاه‌های ارزی مواد غذایی. ابتدا قسمت برنج و حبوبات.
They got plenty of rice and beans.
قیمت برنج و اینا تغییر.
Rice prices have not changed. Oil, meat, and poultry sections, no storage. It doesn't look like they're having problems in the market.
قرفه‌های روغن و گوشت و مرغ.
کمبود گوشت و مرغ و اینو ماهی کنه
داریم. نه خدا رو شکر. نه بحرانی نداریم تو تامین.
Got all kinds of fish, all kinds of meat.
مشکلی نداریم. ذخایرم الحمدلله شرایط خوب.
Now this is, again, this is their propaganda, but nonetheless it's not unbelievable. They've got decent partners.
هم خانواد هم سوخت کردنی به میزان کافی وجود داره.
از ابتدای جنگ تحمیلی سوم رئیس قوه قضاییه به داد.
These people that run this country actually give a shit about their culture to the most part.
ستانهای کل کشور مأموریت داده که نظارت ویژه‌ای بر بازار ارزی کالا داشته باشند.
همه چی هست خوشبختانه.
فراوونه.
خرید کردی؟
والا همین مرغ و ارزاق دیگه گوشت و مرغ.
بودی که نبوده؟
نه نه خیلی عالی. اصلا بهتر از قبل از جنگه. شرایط همه چی هست سلام بگید.
خانم تونستید خرید
روزانه؟ خدا رو شکر همه چی بود.
همه چی هست؟
خدا رو شکر.
مشکل نبوده؟
نه قربونه.
همه شما گرم. مرسی که پیگیری.
خیلی همه چی سعی
همون چیز چند قلمی که می‌خواستم
روزانه‌ت
بله بله
دستگاه قضایی هم به عنوان مدعی العموم داره نظارت می‌کنه که اگر جای کم و کسری وجود داشته باشه.
All right, so the grocery stores are running in Iran. I expect them to say that, but also I do think that they're prepared for the most part. I'm not saying everyone's comfortable. They're going to get bombed and they're going to keep getting bombed till America feels it's safe enough to lose 30, 40, 50,000 soldiers, maybe more. I don't know. Oh man, what is this here? Israeli fighter on the ground in Haifa. Look, where do you see this shit? I mean, Israel, the whole entire Middle East looks to be, it looks like it's going to get burned to the ground. This is Israeli firefighter. Significant toxic materials. You guys see it firsthand there. Welcome to hell in Israel. All right, let's get rid of that. All right, now Trump's official narrative for that particular rescue was the U.S. flew in, built a secret U.S. base. They basically took over a farm, landed C-130s, ran 35 miles to a distant mountain, rescued severely injured pilot from the mountain, traveling 35 miles back on foot. I don't know about this. On foot, across open plain while engaged in massive nighttime firefights, tried to take off two C-130s and got stuck at the airport, and kept battling until more troops came, and then took everything away, and then blew up C-130s from air. That is the official narrative there. It's kind of similar to the Israeli narrative. Yeah, all these guys, and they're securing the Middle East is what they're doing. They're securing the Middle East for the Abraham Accords, we would say for Israel, but it isn't just Israel. It appears to be Saudi Arabia and all their other partners and the Kuwaitis and the Epstein class. And opposed to them are the Shia militias, the Russians and the Chinese, the three kings of the East, as they say in the apocalyptic literature. Confirmed presence of Russian nuclear sub near the Straits of Hormuz. Moscow has officially deployed six submarines, including two nuclear ones near the Strait of Hormuz, in a discreet mission. It can't be that discreet if they're writing about it on X, to protect Iranian infrastructure. All right. This deployment sends a strong message to the West, signaling that any escalation against Iran could involve Russia. Well, then it'll go very, very big and very ugly. Worst case scenario, and I think you could be close to that, is someone drops a nuke or nukes go off. Now, the Pakistanis are in an interesting position because they're hosting peace talks, but at the same time, they have defense agreements with Saudi Arabia. Keep that in mind. Let's see what we've got here. Netanyahu with F-15 pilot rescue operation reinforces a sacred principle: no one is left behind. What is that principle they have in Israel where if the soldiers get left, they just kill everything? You never know when America could do that as well, since we're kind of like big Israel. Let's hear what Netanyahu's official position is.
Congratulations, President Trump. All Israelis rejoice in the incredible rescue of a brave American pilot by America's dauntless warriors. This proves that when free societies muster their courage and their resolve, they can confront seemingly insurmountable odds and overcome the forces of darkness and terror. This rescue operation...
Overcome the forces of darkness and terror, guys.
...reinforces a sacred principle.
Hannibal Protocol, exactly.
No one is left behind. This is a shared value demonstrated time and time again in the history of both our countries. As a nation that repeatedly carried out daring rescue operations, and as someone who was wounded in such a mission and lost a brother in the Entebbe rescue, Israelis and I, we know what a bold decision you took. President Trump, Donald, my dear friend, once again, your decisive leadership brought another great victory to America.
I will say Netanyahu is the best they have to offer. He did actually serve in the military. He is very, very clever. He's the best they have to offer. Trump isn't the best we have. He's the best they have. He's the best they have for us. You know, secure greater Israel and all this kind of good stuff. Keep on moving here. I got a few more pieces left, and I'm going to let you guys go to Wednesday. If I'm not back here live Wednesday, that means I'm on the paywall. It really depends on how much information's out. I want to cover something for the White Rabbit Radio audience I've covered for years, and we'll talk about this at the end here because we have Marco Rubio. We have all these guys talking, and they're getting ready to go to the dark side of the moon, which is interesting. Lots of memes involved in the dark side of the moon. This is a hospital in Beirut after Israel decided to bomb it. See, this is one of the reasons this has been going on for decades, that you're just not going to have peace. These two different groups over there are going to go at it, and they have cause. I mean, there's a reason why these guys are pissed off at Israel, pissed off at the Israel's Arab allies, or Jews that run Sunni Islam, however you want to look at it. That's how the Arab Street looks at it, the Epstein class. And the Shia over there hate them. This was a bombing in Lebanon. It's just a complete dystopian disaster. Now, the only thing is Israel's, you know, getting this in return. An Orwell Prize-winning war correspondent regards the missing F-15 weapons system. Okay. We're going to have more and more of this. I gave you a few of the official versions. By Wednesday, we could have the truth. Something might be verified. Something might seem obvious. But the U.S. did go in there, and these guys are trained. I mean, the U.S. Air Force, Special Operations, was it USO or whatever? They're kind of like the U.S. Air Force version of the SEALs. They don't get a lot of recognition, but they're just as badass when it comes to these rescue missions. U.S. government sources tell me intense clashes underway between U.S. and Iranian forces in southwestern Iran related to rescue operations. If the U.S. got everyone out of here alive, I'd be amazed. Because setting up in there for all that time, they're going to be coming in there from all over. Now, assuming this is a missile coming in from a ship. It's like a disaster. They keep on saying it's the most complex military operation missions in American history. And we're going to find out. This is these Baji forces. This is one of these minority groups. There's several of these in these mountain regions. They are in Persia. It's about 60% Persian. And then you have the other breakdown of the other groups and what the CIA and the Mossad and the MI6 is and probably French intelligence, everything else, is identifying various different elements. Now, Europe is basically mitigating its contact with Trump. Europe has joined 40 different countries to negotiate the opening of the Straits of Hormuz. Of course, the U.S. can also close the straits. Keep this in mind. it isn't just the Iranians that could close the straits. The U.S. could close the straits as well. The U.S. could destroy all Iranian infrastructure, their ability. That's what Trump is threatening to do, basically. It's like, if we can't have what we want, no one's going to get anything, and that would be a disaster. But Europe, the AfD party in Germany, has basically separated itself from Trump, which is a fucking miracle. I thought that was kind of wild. Yeah, he's not doing so well. Trump's not looking so good, but this is all kind of predictable for us. But this is these Baji forces, or however it's pronounced, reportedly found bodies of their own fighters killed by guided rockets of a U.S. A-10. I mean, I don't know how many A-10s were actually coming in there, but they've got all these A-10s over there, and we're going to take some losses on those because, of course, you can take them out with a man pad. And they're going to be flooding this particular zone with all kinds of different solutions. And the U.S. is going to be countering it, and the Iranians are going to counter those. These are their dead friends. They're all trying to fight the American soldiers, and America does have a certain amount of air support. They definitely don't have some kind of insane air superiority, but they certainly flew in there like they did, like they thought they did. So we'll see what adjustments they make. This is going to be it's going to get worse. Best case scenario, Trump takes a little island and tacos it and then decides to get the fuck out of there. That would be the best case scenario. Now, will it happen? Be the best for a lot of soldiers. I just don't know. I think that the House of Saud, the Abraham Accord countries, and Israel have taken so much damage that they're not going to be happy. And since Trump is part of that crew, he's going to keep pushing in there. U.S. deploys bulk of stealthy long-range missiles for Iran war. Will the U.S. run out of missiles? If so, when? Because Iranians aren't running out of drones. I'm running out of any of their shit anytime soon. They're prepared. They don't have an air force. They don't have much of a navy other than maybe drones, maybe mines, and maybe small boats that can nuisance and blow up larger boats. Like these small particular look like speed. They look like ski boats or something. These yachts that they have. It's going to be pretty interesting going forward. That's for sure. It's going to make for some wild shows. It's going to be difficult to figure out exactly who's telling the truth until someone actually, you know, gets on some particular program of note and with the details it seems plausible. But the U.S. is running out of stuff because the U.S. stuff is very expensive It's really not geared for this type of war yet. You know, why is Trump in a state of shock? Now, a lot of guys are playing this. I assume that he's... We know that Hegseth and Trump did not expect Iranian response. I don't know why, but they didn't expect Iran to start wiping out infrastructure across the Middle East. They did not expect them to fight like this. These guys are delusional. Iraqi news, why is Trump in a state of shock? U.S. Army General Steve Anderson listed humiliations one by one. Let's listen. This, again, is... it's a retired. It's U.S. Army General Steve Anderson. He is retired, I believe. He's not active, obviously.
Well, thank you for having me. And I think the first thing to remember is that they're a long ways away from any American bases. I mean, so they're going to have extensive logistics capability to be able to essentially loiter and look for this guy. I mean, obviously, finding where he is the most important thing.
They're talking about the actual... Now, the guys like this will actually probably get the real facts and tell us the real facts sometime this week, guys like this. They're talking about the search and rescue and why it's difficult.
But, you know, we've got incredible capability in regards to Pave Hawk helicopters and A-10 aircraft that can be used to provide cover. And the whole procedure would be run by an HC-130, which would also have a refueling capability, so allow the helicopters to loiter a little bit longer. And of course, MQ-9 Reapers surveillance drones are going to be very active. The good news is that it's becoming dark. And my understanding is these pilots or this weapon systems officer probably has a set of night vision goggles. And that would give him some advantages to staying alive in a contested area. But, you know, it's obviously a race against time. The IRGC wants to get him. There would be tremendous political advantage. I mean, there already is with two shootdowns today, but to be able to capture someone and to have a hostage would be tremendous political points for the regime. And, you know, this is just more evidence that this is the greatest geopolitical disaster, I believe, in the history of America. Donald Trump has stuck his hand in the middle of a hornet's nest. He doesn't know how to get it out. And we've got a long way to go.
I think that's accurate. That's why I'm playing it. Yeah, we've lost all kinds of stuff. Now, there's a lot of fake news coming out, but it's based around, you know, certain amount of things we suspect. Leaked report, Argentina to accept 300,000 Israelis and create mini state. This has proved to be false, but I can see it happening. We can see it happening. You know, there's a lot of fake news going around. I really hate it. I am trying to stop a planned global financial collapse. Hold on. Let's see what he says here for the first 30 seconds. This is Alex again.
Not just in Iran, but in that whole region. And traditionally, to blow up large civilian bridges in a war is seen as persona non grata and a war crime. And when you got Trump saying we're going to bomb you back in the Stone Age if your leaders don't submit, is the very definition of using terror. And that's what war is, so you know, both sides do it. And Iran has bought the Strait of Hormuz. So I want to explain something to all the warmongers out there who really don't have a military understanding or an economic, historical, industrial understanding. I had a columnist on a year and a half ago saying the main threat to Trump would be if he got tricked into attacking Iran. Now, and you'll into a major war. Now, I didn't predict he'd do it. I just said it was a major danger, so to my guest. Nick Fuentes said it was 100% the reason he wasn't going to support it. He was right. But the basis of inflation is oil and gas being high and or things like fertilizer, and both of those things go through at around 27 to 30% in the case of fertilizer, 27% with oil and gas through the Strait of Hormuz. It's already caused a chain reaction from Taiwan not being able to make the semiconductors and all the rest of it. And already a month into this, it's been closed for almost a month, 37, 38 days into the war, it's already shooting shockwaves through the world economy. And not just me, but even the Federal Reserve just came out, who are the bad guys. They don't want to lower interest rates, but Trump forced them to. Good thing he did. They're talking about raising them substantially because of inflation ticking.
Yeah, oil is inflation. So high oil prices mean interest rates have to go up or the dollar goes to hell. They're losing reserve status on parts of the planet. We're going to a multipolar world with multiple, they're going to have 3 to 5 reserve currencies. The U.S. will be one, but this adjustment period is going to be pretty wild. And this is a viral 4chan from mid-2025. Israel breaks ceasefire and strikes Iran. It's kind of common sense. Trump's response with B-2 bunker busters on nuclear sites, that happened. Iran hits all Gulf oil fields and U.S. bases, blocks Hormuz and Bab al-Mandeb Strait. They did half of that, most of that, I guess. El-Mandeb Strait is what the Houthis were talking about doing. Oil prices skyrocket, blackouts in Africa and third world might be coming. U.S. sends 3 aircraft carriers, at least 2 sunk by Iran, Russia, and China using suicide tactics. That hasn't happened yet. U.S. tries amphibious invasion, first fails, massive casualties. I can see that. Second attempt succeeds, oil field sees, advance halts. U.S. civil war begins, anti-war bloc takes D.C. and military support. Let's read this 4chan. This kid on 4chan doing pretty good. U.S. splits in two and retreats from Middle East. That'd be wild. Turkey betrays NATO, joins Russia-Iran-China alliance, attacks Israel. That'd be wild. China invades Taiwan and Guam. Guam. North Korea invades South. Japan fails to stop it. India possibly flips sides. Russia invades Poland and Baltics, links to Kaliningrad. Finland and NATO invade Russia. Take St. Petersburg. Europe collapses into riots, famine, and civil war. Latin America allies with China and Russia. U.S. invaded the South. Advanced. U.S. invaded from the South. Advanced stops at Colorado. I don't know if they're going to be able to get all that far. But you never know. 50 to 150 tactical nukes used in high atmosphere. Oh, God. Tsar Bomba and 2 strategic nukes used in Europe. Oh, shit. Israel destroyed, Palestinians wiped out with it. Air travel ends, crime and chaos everywhere. 3 weeks of nuclear events. Fake alien invasion begins. MJ-12 releases synthetic alien soldiers. Alien soldiers hunt survivors. FEMA camps classify people as useful or undesirable. 2027, 5 billion dead. Fake aliens defeated to help by real ones. One world government under MJ-12 and UN. Dome of the Rock destroyed, script complete. Some kid in his mom's basement doing pretty damn well on 4chan a couple years ago. Tuesday, 8 p.m. Eastern time, Trump's giving D-Day. So we got D-Day coming, guys. He's just going to destroy the whole entire country, Straits of Hormuz, everything. We don't know what he means. And again, Trump says, this is his exact words, this is a president, if Iran does not make a deal by Tuesday deadline, I'm blowing up everything over there. Now, Iran is saying the U.S. is not in any position to demand a deal or get a deal or to demand any compromises. Iran will not do anything until it's compensated for war crimes or for they want to be reimbursed for destroying their country. Pay them $100 billion, probably be cheap. I mean, they're spending $150. What are they spending on a military coming up? $100 billion to Iran? I mean, you did attack them. U.S. Special Forces rescue second missing F-15. Airmen from Iran, most daring rescues in history, and you guys can see it again. Oh, hold on, Layer. I did pull up something extra here. Let me pull this over here. This is another commentator on... it's a commentator on a couple different places. All right, let me put that last. Yeah, everything is burned down, nothing left. This does not happen with crashes. Usually you have wings and parts of the plane. Yeah, I mean, obviously they destroyed it, whether or not something crashed and was destroyed or was as the U.S. They identified a pilot. They came in and established a particular base that was probably part of some CIA operation at some farm. They landed 2 C-130s, which is kind of impressive. But they've done this type of thing. They do it for a living. And we put plenty of money in it. Then they brought in all kinds of helicopters. Then they got into some kind of clusterfuck, but they got out of there. They just had to destroy a bunch of shit. U.S. military has been through stuff like this before. So there's all this analysis going on. It'll continue. You know? Another problem with the crash theory is that it's basically impossible for 2 planes and a helicopter all to crash at the same spot. Yeah, they were landed somewhere intentionally and then blown up intentionally together. or at least several vehicles were landed near a crash site, or you can do the math, but obviously a percentage of what the U.S. is saying is probably accurate. We just don't know the whole thing. If Iran did have a pilot, we'd already see him on TV, I would imagine, because no sooner than you have the Shepard guy shooting at a Black Hawk, he's a celebrity. So I'm guessing the Iranians would be showing things, you know. But again, for the Iranians to win, the IRGC has to stay in power. The U.S. has already lost. They've already lost. It's just how bad the losses are going to be. The U.S. is already going to be in a retreat. Doesn't mean you're not going to have a formidable empire in North and South America, which is what they want. It doesn't mean the Israelis are going to close up shop tomorrow, although they may, and start heading to Argentina and Ukraine. I think they want to split up that population. You know, being in the center of the planet and being hated by the planet makes them sitting ducks to them. They were doing much better when they were everywhere and hidden, and they could run their game of being a minority. But their game is over. Now, of course, this is the direct Iranian quote. Iran has told mediators that the U.S. is not in a position to make any demands. This is Wall Street Journal. It is right. They want compensation for their troubles. You know? Let's see what I got here. I have something. I have a particular piece I've got to... keep on moving here. Americans are feeling the Iran's war economic pain with hints of worse ahead. It's bad in a lot of places on this planet. It's going to get bad in America. Every time you need gas, I'd fill up a little bit earlier because it's going to go higher and higher. We have a better lead time than a lot of other places on the planet, but you might be in a situation where America's in terrible shape and the rest of the planet's doing quite well. You know? That could happen that way. Keep that in mind. Artemis II crew sees spectacular far side of the moon for the first time. So we have another mission to the moon. Why now? Well, nothing happens in a vacuum. And this is like one of these famous Liberty reporters or whatever. And I don't even want to play this. I'll play the Marco Rubio piece, and I'm going to let you guys go. I've been up here for a couple hours. It's Easter Sunday, and I am tired right now. It's been a long day. An army whistleblower claims he visited a secret civilization on the moon. You know, you've got all these whistleblowers out there giving interviews to famous parties. Famous parties are entertaining it. You have various different congressmen saying they're getting told all kinds of wild stories every day. There clearly is some type of space narrative. It has to do with commerce. I think there's a basic commerce narrative to space, money. And then there's this type of crazy shit they got going out. And you never know what they're capable of doing. Especially, I mean, World War III happens. You have an escalation. They burn down parts of the planet. And then they're going to start taking perception in other areas, off-world, whatnot. We'll play this. You guys can use your head on this type of thing. If there's not enough stuff to cover Wednesday, I will go to the paywall and I will cover the... Fake alien invasion special for you guys. Marco Rubio UFO bombshell. Now listen to this. They've been saying stuff like this the past, what, 3 or 5 years. It's so redundant, I don't play much of it anymore. But now it's right this minute as we're going back to the moon, this Artemis II mission, you have this type of thing just blazing.
This morning we're going to have a classified briefing on the objects that were shot down over the last weekend. First of all, I don't know why it's classified. I do not believe that any of the information that they've shared or are going to share with us is going to be the kind of thing that has to be kept secret. There's very specific reasons why things are classified, and this doesn't meet the standard. Maybe I'm wrong. We're going to find out. Second, is this is pretty extraordinary. Okay, this is not just a curiosity or into weird stuff about UFOs.
I don't even know when this was. This has been going on for the past 5 years.
Aliens. For the first time in 65 years, the United States has shot something down over our airspace. Not once, but 4 times. And 3 of those 4 things, we have no idea what they are, and people deserve to know what they are. I mean, it's pretty extraordinary. You're launching at least $800,000 missiles off of fighter jets over American airspace. That's a pretty big deal. We need to understand why we did it and what these things are, where they come from, who owns them, who made them, why are they here.
He's not Mexican, he's Cuban. So he could be a Cuban BB. The neocons like him for some reason.
And perhaps the explanation is easy, and maybe not. The point is that these are important things that the American people deserve to know and that they deserve to hear directly from the president about. Not a political thing here. Okay, people deserve to know, why are we shooting things down? If it's serious enough to shoot down, it's serious enough for you to know something about it. Look, this is a topic I've been on for a long time, right? Because this is not new. It may sound new, but it really isn't. We have been seeing objects flying over restricted airspace in the United States for a long time now. No one took it seriously because immediately it was about UFOs and flying saucers and aliens. And that's not my concern. My concern is that some other country has developed a capability to monitor and enter our airspace, and that we are not prepared to identify it because they have figured out a way. You know, we're looking for airplanes. We're looking for missiles. We're not looking for objects that don't fit that criteria. And strategic surprise is the way a lot of wars start, and it's the way a lot of wars and conflicts are lost. So these are important questions that need to be.
What was that they said at the end of Operation High Jump? El Mercurio. Hold on, let's look this up. El Mercurio. Mercurio. See if I can find it here. El Mercurio, and during Operation High Jump, Admiral Byrd gave that particular very famous. Well, it was the only exact quote to come out of it that was carried by any major newspaper. El Mercurio was Argentina, or maybe it was Brazil. I forget where it was. You guys can look it up. Where he said the U.S. has to be able to defend itself from an enemy that can go pole to pole at a very extremely high speed. Fascinating statement. Don't know what he meant by that, though, or who he was talking about. But maybe we'll find out one morning. But you guys stay safe out there. And again, I'll be back Wednesday. If not here, I'll be on the paywall. But nonetheless, cheers, guys. Friday, I'll be with Blair Cottrell, so you guys want to tune in for that. But if there's big news, I'll be live Wednesday for sure. If not, we'll talk about alien stuff on the paywall. We'll look at some stuff, some particular scenarios they may be up to. It's about commerce. I mean, who was it? Deutsche Telekom with a 5G network on the moon? Why would you need a 5G network on the moon? But nonetheless, cheers, guys. Stay tuned and be safe out there.